Turn to Ephesians 4, and we finished up last week when we talked in verse 11, and we talked in the previous weeks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, elders, and teachers. And so in verse 12, we're going to continue on here, and why did Jesus give those gifts to men? And so if someone wants to read verse 12, please.
Equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ.
Okay, so the word translated for means advantageous for or towards, and it's pointing to the advantage. And so when you're looking at that, he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and elders and teachers for the advantage of equipping the saints, is what he's saying there. And so there's an advantage for us, and it's to the advantage of the saints. A lot of people think that a lot of the preaching and a lot of the teaching and stuff, and not necessarily all the time, but as in the assembly is geared towards non-Christians is what a lot of people will kind of assume that as for. Well, this here, the apostles and prophets, the evangelists and elders and teachers were given for the purpose of equipping the saints, is what it says there. It's for the advantage of equipping the saints. And the word for saint there means sacred or holy. And it's not like some people have a problem with identifying us as saints, and that's what we are. He say that word is sacred and holy. It's for the equipping of the holy people, of the sacred people. And sometimes we refer, you know, with the religious world refers to something as sacred, as something set apart, some physical thing a lot of times, as a building maybe, or as a robe, or as something to do with something physical. When Paul is saying here that the saints here are sacred, and these five works here, if you will, were given for the advantage of equipping the saints. And in verse 12 again, the word equipping the saints for the work of service. Now, word for service means service or ministry. And so they equip the saints for the service of building up the body or the church, building up the brethren is what he is saying there. So as we're going to kind of go along that line a little bit today, or mostly today, and kind of visit or talk about that. In chapter 20 of Matthew, if we turn over there, Jesus talks here. Now, the word for saint, go ahead, Brandon. Yeah, well, and that's actually the only time that word is used in the New Testament. And so when he's using that, I mean, it's obviously in the light of how, if you understand Scripture and how the Scripture is supposed to be understood, we're moving towards, like, there's a perfect vibe, if you will, a perfect thought, I guess would be a better word to say, throughout the Scripture. Like, God isn't satisfied with people just copying out of being able to succeed at what they're doing. And so if that's true individually, that's definitely true for the church. I mean, God is striving for that. He's wanting us to have that. And it's not, you know, I don't want to lay the foundation that, oh, we're striving to be perfect. God calls us to be perfect, and God calls us to be equipped. I mean, whether you use perfect or equipped, and actually the Greek word actually is better equipped, or that would be a better translation than perfect. But still that picture, though, if someone's equipped for something, they're ready and prepared, and you know, they're not, they don't have, they have all everything that they need for the purpose of that, you know. And
the building up of the body, would it obviously, I think the main thrust here is for the Christians to be cheer of Christ, or you know, but would it be talking too about equipping them to teach others, you know, to maybe I don't know if that would go that far or not, but to evangelize, I mean, to bring more people in, building up the body. I don't know.
Well, I think it there might be a little bit of that implied a little bit later on in the passage, you know, when you get towards down to verse 16 and stuff like that. But it is, I mean, if you go along the line of what the purpose of the church is, we're seeking and saving the lost, we're preaching the gospel, like if we're equipped to do that, then that's definitely going to fall in there, you know. And I guess in a lot of cases, you know, sometimes we have the tendency to focus on the initial salvation versus the growth, you know, and that's kind of a religious world mentality a little bit, is that it ends at initial salvation instead of growth. So in really saving the lost, the teaching needs to keep growing. You know, I'm not saying that we're lost, but people can turn back and be lost if they don't keep growing. And so I think as in work, equipping of the saints for the work of service and building up of the body, just like the apostles and prophets and evangelists and elders and teachers, all of them have a duty to the lost, those who are outside the body, but most of their duty is for those who are inside the body. The same would be true for the church. I mean, we have a duty of those outside the lost, outside of the body, but the focus doesn't stop once they get in. The thought doesn't stop once they get in the body. They have to continue to grow too. So yes, that's kind of a little bit implied. You know, and I've all thought that way before, and I've had to change my thought a little bit on that. Is that, well, when we're looking at what the church does, it's not. I mean, it is seeking and saving the lost, but it doesn't just stop it when they come out of the water, and not necessarily that we've taught that here, but sometimes that thought can get kind of clouded because of the wrong focus of the world. You know, is that they think, well, someone's just they have a false picture of what that is, and so equipping the saints for building up of the body for sure has, obviously you have to have people to build up first, but then they have to continue growing after they're in. I guess that's how I'd answer that. Yes,
but maybe Matthew, the Great Commission, maybe amplifies that by
right.
Make disciples and continue to make disciples.
Right.
Basically.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Them. And immersion's in there, but it's teaching on both sides of it. Yeah. Kyle, you have something?
Yeah, I mean, the idea of the government of saints for the work of service, and then the idea of building up the body aren't necessarily exclusive. Mm-hmm.
I think, like, because we used to, you know, like, in a lot of cases, like, the apostles, you think, see the word apostle, you think missionary, you think someone who is preaching to someone who doesn't know the gospel. That's the picture that we get from what our picture is today, when that is true, but the apostles, as we'll kind of see a little bit in it today, but the apostles dealt with. Like, Paul wrote all of his letters to Christians, being an apostle. You know, he dealt with apostles, or he dealt with Christians. That's what he had, a duty to Christians. And a lot of the writings that we have that they did was a duty to Christians, you know. And so you could say the same thing with James, who is believed to be an elder. Peter was an apostle and an elder. So them guys are, they have a duty to the saints. Yes, they have a duty to lost as well, but the majority of it is those who are already there. And you, I mean, the equipping, it goes past it, and it doesn't just isn't just going to have a big revival, and then that's how their job, you know, their equipping goes past it for sure. But it's not excluded, but it definitely is focused on more on the growth, because that's the importance that the God is showing, I think, more so than just seeing the numerical number all the time. And granted, I will say too, if the congregation is growing not in number, it's eventually going to overflow into growing as number, because they're going to be sharing. I mean, that's the purpose. That's kind of the purpose of that. If somebody, I guess the saying could be, is that you can't tell someone, you can't teach someone about something you don't have. And so, I mean, eventually the growth has to be there, and then it overflows. I mean, if the growth it's in the body doesn't happen, then it's not going to overflow outside the body. You know, so if the growth in the body happens, it's going to eventually overflow outside. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the growth. It is the we're building up each other, you know, like, I mean, the building up each other first. And granted, we have a duty to loss too, but we're building up each other, and that's going to overflow outside, you know, where someone's, you know, you start learning, you learn, then you want to share it with somebody, you know. Eventually you get to where you're confident enough to share it, or something someone says, or something sparks something, a thought, and then you start learning more and more, and that's how that works, you know, to eventually move past there, you know.
It's like the Tower of Cups that are built up, and the top one is, there's a single one at the top, and it gets full, and you dump the water, and then it fills up, and then it starts running over into the other two, and then it fills up more into the three, and if it does fill up into the four, just continually, if you fill up that top cup, and it will run into the rest. Mm-hmm. It's inevitable. Mm-hmm. It has to.
Yeah. Right.
I think on the other hand of that too is, if you have 200 people that were just immersed and nobody teaches them anything, it's probably more of a detriment than it is a help, because basically, you know, if they're not going to be taught, they're going to go off on every whim. It's probably going to be a problem more than not.
Right.
So I think it's important to remember that the church is there for the saints. That's true.
Right. Right.
And like you say, it's going to happen if that happens.
Right. So turn to Matthew 20. And so the word for service, actually, it is, I could pronounce this wrong, it's deaconeos, where we get our word from the word that we get our word deacon from. Okay, so that's kind of a tongue twister there. So the word for service is actually get the word for service that we have, that we're looking at here in Ephesians 4:12, comes from a word here written in Matthew. That's the word. So we're going to read Matthew, start in verse 24. And go through 28, but we see here prior to this that James and John's mother comes and talks to Jesus, and she wants them to be one on his right, one on their left. Her son's on the right and left of Jesus in his kingdom. And then in verse 24, so I want to pick up to 28. Okay, so the word for servant in verse 26, this is the word we get, this is the word that is the root of the word in Ephesians 4, chapter 12, okay? And this actually word for servant here is a word that's translated three times, it's translated deacon, okay? And actually it would probably be translated better if it wasn't translated deacon, and then you wouldn't have as much of an office as we have on that today and more of a work, but the point is that, so when we're looking at that, when Jesus uses that word, who wishes to be great shall be your servant. You know, and when you're looking at a servant of the church is selfless. And the body won't be built up unless that happens. So when we're talking about the apostles and prophets and elders and evangelists and teachers equipping the saints for the work of service, okay, That service is a selfless service. It's something that they're seeking the benefit of the body versus seeking gain within the body. Okay, and so that's what Jesus is saying there is that, you know, because the two were wanting to sit on the right and the left of Jesus when he came in his kingdom, and then the other 10 became indignant with them, and Jesus is slowing it down here, saying, "Hey, this is the Gentiles lorded over them, but it's not the case with you. That's not how it's supposed to be." Because the servant, the deaconos, or deaconos, or how you pronounce the Greek word, deaconios, is for the service. That is what it's for. He's a servant. He puts himself below others. It is for the purpose of building up the body. Okay, and those five works in verse 12 or verse 11 of Ephesians are for the purpose of equipping the saints to be that. To be that now again, I'm not saying that there's not that there's not maybe if you will that there's not certain people that have a little bit more or trusted a little bit more than others in some of this stuff. But as a whole, kind of a little bit like we talked teachers last week, as a whole, all of us have a duty to teach. So as a whole, all of us have a duty to build up the body. But again, as on a maybe a smaller scale, or maybe as far as teachers, some guys are meant to be teachers more in a broad or over a bigger body of saints than other people are. And that doesn't mean it doesn't discredit the other people, but it's just something that God does talk about in 1 Corinthians 12, that not everyone's the mouth, not everyone's the eye, not everyone's the hand. But you can't say that the eye has no need of the foot, or the mouth has no need of the hand. And because that's something that all of the whole body works together. And so when you're looking at as servants here, there are some people, as we'll see here in a second here in Acts 6, but there are sometimes there's guys who are trustworthy that are set aside for a particular purpose to build up the body. But that does not mean that every individual doesn't have a duty of actually service or being a servant of the body as well. And so that's the goal of the apostles and prophets and elders and teachers and evangelists, is to equip the saints for the purpose of serving, being servants or ministers for the work and the building up of the body, which is the church. You know, both, most importantly, growth within, but also, I mean, that can overflow a little bit outward as well. I turn to Acts chapter 6. So now, when we look at this, you know, sometimes we view, and when we're looking at servant, we're looking people call these guys deacons, but when we're looking at that office, the focus a lot of times how it has been with the other so-called offices or titles, I guess would be so-called titles, that we looked at here, that, that people make titles, the emphasis is on the title more than on the work nowadays. And when you're looking at here, is that these men were chosen for the purpose, yeah, I mean, I don't know if they received any title or anything, but they were chosen for the purpose of doing the work versus having a title. And so when we're looking at the idea of servants here and the building up of the body for the work of service, now that doesn't mean, like you said, it's not just simply having a few people do this. Okay, it's equipping the saints for the work of service. And so when we're looking at these few guys, though, we're going to look at some of the character that was looked at when choosing these guys. And so when we're looking at the character, we're going to see that, hey, this is what the character of a servant looks like. So when they're building up the saints for the work of service, this is what the goal should be. So in Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. Okay, so this word here is the word we're looking at, and I looked it up here. We're looking at from Ephesians 4, and it's pronounced diakonia. And so that's what, this is the word that we're looking at. In verse 1, when it says the Jewish women were overlooked in the daily serving, that word is diakonia. And that's the word we're looking at when we're looking in Ephesians 4:12, when it says that the elders and prophets and so on are equipping the saints for the work of diakonia, is what it's saying, for the work of service. And so this attitude or this character here is written about in these guys here when they're looking at for someone to be of service. Now, again, not saying that each individual doesn't have a responsibility of service, but this is the kind of, like, you can't serve the body and build up the body and not have at least going towards the character that these guys had. Okay, I mean, any building up or any work that's done, I guess, and this is not just simply talking about mowing grass or something like that. I mean, yes, granted, these guys here were serving a physical meal and they were charged with that. But if you would think that what would have happened and what was happening, there was a dispute, a spiritual struggle, if you will, that was arising because of something physical. Now, and granted, I'm not saying that physical things aren't important necessarily, but it was something physical that had a spiritual impact, and these guys were put in charge of something physical to help with the spiritual impact of this situation. But they were trusted men. They had been obviously had some testing or something before that people found approval of the seven men chosen, and they found them full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and they chose them, and they brought them before the apostles. See, the apostles didn't choose them. They had a reputation from people who were in the congregation there that they brought them forth and said, these guys, we trust these guys. Okay? And so my point in bringing this up is not necessarily saying that the work of service is limited to a few people, but look at the character of these guys. They got chosen to fulfill the work. And if these guys had to have the character to be chosen to fulfill this work, we, if we're serving on an individual basis, building up the body, we have to at least imitate this character a little bit, if not quite a bit. Because if this character of selflessness isn't brought here, isn't applied to when we're being built up to serve the body, to build up the body, then the building is not going to happen. The stones are, if you will, if you want to use those terminology, there's not going to be the right amount of selflessness applied, so then the building is eventually going to crumble, or anything that's built is going to crumble. And so it has to be built with this kind of attitude, and it goes back to what Jesus says there, that you don't lord it over, the Gentiles lord it over, but it's not that way with you. The servant, the greatest among you is the servant, okay? And that word, where we get our word deacon from, actually is deaconos, okay? And that's where we get our word deacon from. But deaconia comes from the word deaconos. They're all related within that, but they actually mean the emphasis is on a servant or a service done in selflessness over instead of a title that is given. Okay, that's the emphasis there as we're reading through that. So the purpose was to building up of the body is a purposeful act. Okay, it's a purposeful act that they had that they were doing, and they made it a conscious effort to be that person.
I think that's amplified with Philip. He went out and he was the same one that went to the Ethiopian eunuch, mm-hmm. by
right. mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then especially with Stephen.
Right.
He later on was able to teach, and he taught with more wisdom. They couldn't cope with it. Mm-hmm. It says, and then of course they. They threatened to persecute him, and they stoned him to death. And he—that's how selfless he was. So,
right.
I think that's the kind of guy that needs to be looked at. Mm.
And you see both of those guys. I mean, they both had their work extended to the lost and preaching the gospel to them. But they continued to, they built them up. That was a servant for the church. So we're looking at, well, what is the building up of the body? Yeah, it is extended to the lost, but it has to deal with mostly dealing with the growth of the body that is saved already, that is already saved. And so that's a lot of the deal. I mean, so all you see that throughout the, with apostles or with evangelists or with teachers, or whatever, they have a responsibility to the lost, but they have a bigger responsibility to the saved already. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And so we're looking here. Now again, I'm not saying that there's not certain things that certain individuals that are trustworthy to be set aside. Obviously those seven were trustworthy to set aside, to set them aside for a purpose of accomplishing a specific task. And they had a good enough reputation to do that. And I think that definitely applies to what the world will call a deacon, if you will. But what the world looks at a deacon is not the same as what the Bible sees as a deacon either, I don't think. And really, it kind of would maybe solve a little bit of problems and clear up a little bit and change the idea of how we view that if we would actually probably translate the word right, just like the word pastor is translated wrong. If it would translate how it was actually written and how it was in the original Greek, then it would probably have a little less title associated with it and more of what the work is. And so in 1 Timothy 3, we see the word deaconess here again in verse 8. But we'll read verse 8 through 10 of 1 Timothy chapter 3.
First be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond approach or reproach.
Okay, so the word for deacons means deaconess. We said that before. The word in verse 10 where it says serve as deacons, that word is actually, it's also a related word. But and it comes from deaconess, but it's deaconeo is what is how it's pronounced. Deaconeo. And so the point in reading this is, again, I think that it's important that we... when we're talking about equipping the saints, and when First Tim or Second Timothy, when Paul writes about entrusting these things to faithful men who are able to teach others as well, I think that there is obviously like those seven in Acts chapter 6 were entrusted with a physical thing, okay, and I understand that a spiritual thing when you're talking about people who are working in that. Way, I think that there is an importance. It's not just the qualification for someone to teach isn't simply coming up out of the water. Okay, now I'm not saying that Christians like we don't have a duty as Christians to teach people, but if that's all it stops at, then that person is never going to be able to teach anybody. Okay, and that's why Paul talks about entrusting these to faithful men, those men who have been proven, have proven themselves. And so it's like in the way of a deacon here, it talks about them first be tested in verse 10. And so you're going to see someone who is able to do those works and service through what they do anyway, through their works. It's similar with an elder or a teacher. Now that's kind of a side note to what we're talking about today, but I wanted to bring it up because it's the character again of being trustworthy, you know, being men of dignity, not double-tongued, not addicted to wine or fond of sordid gain, but they are being tested as faithful men. And if that's going to carry over, if teaching carries over, if preaching carries over, that then this character carries over to what the servants are going to be doing individually. And if we're going to be able to serve, if we're going to be equipped to serve, equipped for the work of service or to deaconia, for the building up of the body, we have to at least have a little bit of the character that someone who is set aside as what the world would call a deacon, probably better translated as a servant for a particular purpose, but. We have to at least have a little bit of that character or moving towards that character and have an honest heart. And I'm not saying that I don't say this in that saying that we're limiting people. I'm saying this in order for the growth to happen, that has to be the attitude. Okay? It's not that, well, no, someone's not having that attitude, so they can't be a part of the growth. I'm not saying it on that side of it. I'm saying it if we want to accomplish the growth, that attitude has to be at the front of it. That attitude, a selfless attitude, a humble attitude, has to be there. Where it's the benefit of the body versus the individual. And Kyle brought up the medieval war fighting, how they fought. When you look in that V formation, when they're going, when they push through, when you're in the dark, or say that like if you have four soldiers or whatever, you have one guy that looks behind, one guy that looks ahead, and that's how they kind of keep going forward and be able to move through. Okay, well, when you're going through, and that's in the medieval style of fighting, when you're busting through the line, you just lost the guy that was behind you, and the guy beside you. So you're really it's a selfless act for the purpose, for the benefit of the whole army. Okay, and they're going through that to do their job in that. And so that kind of that same picture is that to be able to build up the body, it's a selfless act. It's a selfless, humble act to be able to, it's for the benefit of the body versus my benefit. And that same thing applies that if Jesus came to serve, not to be served, what did he do? He was a selfless act in serving that, okay, in that example. And so that's what, that character has to be there, or else the growth in verse 12 of Ephesians 4 isn't going to happen. Okay, and that's why we're looking at some of this stuff, not necessarily to draw lines in how the qualifications, if you will, but more so that the character has to be there for that to happen, the character of a servant. So we'll kind of go through a few verses here. Let's go 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy 1. So I want to read verse 12. Okay, so Paul here, he is thankful who Christ has strengthened because he was faithful in being put into deaconia, okay, a service. That's that word deaconia that we're looking at from Ephesians 4. And so he's saying, I am thankful to be, I'm thankful for that because he considered me faithful. Paul had to be faithful to be put in that work, into that work of deaconia, in that work of service, and that, again, that heart of others first. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 11.
Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service.
Okay, so Mark here, Paul says, bring him with you because he is useful to me for deaconia. Okay, that's the word for service. He's a useful, that idea of someone who is serving, or that ministry of building up the body. So Paul had a charge and was considered faithful. Mark here is a help to Paul in that purpose of deaconia in building up the body. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4. Verse 7.
As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information.
Okay, so Tychicus, that's a good name for a boy. Huh? Benoit? Yeah. My name is, he wanted to have another boy named Tychicus. Yeah. Yeah. So, but Tychicus here was a faithful servant. Now, that word is deaconess. Okay. Again, still related there. But the point is that there's a work of service for these guys here that we're seeing are for a particular purpose of building up with the body. Okay. Now, it's not merely just preaching to the lost, but it's building up of the body as well, and going past that. Galatians chapter 5. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, verse 15 through 17. Yeah, so you see here that the Galatians here, Paul is talking about warning them, if you bite and devour, take care lest you're consumed. See that what they were struggling with, there's some things that they had, or at least he was warning them about, was the idea of selfishness. When you're biting and devouring, when you know, we all in agriculture, with you deal with dogs or cats, you know, if the big dog comes there and someone else is getting the food, he's in a bite the dog and get him out of the way so he gets the food. You got the boss cow or the boss bull that gets the other ones out of the way so he gets the best stuff. You know, and that idea of selfishness there, that they get rid of what is in their way so that they can get what they want. And that's what Paul is warning against here. And that's where you have if a servant if the building up of the body is not does not start with someone, if individual service does not start with first a selfless, humble heart to be able to, for the benefit of the body, then it's going to end up into the biting and devouring, and the body going to be consumed. And so that's the warning there. So if you skip down to verse 22, Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. I know we kind of went a little bit out of context there, but it doesn't change the meaning of what it's saying there, is that the idea of if you're biting and devour versus if you have the fruit of the Spirit. And so it's the humble heart of a servant, selfless act, instead of a selfish, lording it over act. Because that one is an accomplished, one's going to tear down and one's going to build up. And you can't build up without the selfless, humble heart. All right, turn over to Acts 11. Acts 11. Now, with service, now this is, there are, as we see in Acts 6, there was a physical need or physical problem need to be dealt with to help with the spiritual need. And so in some cases that can happen. Like we don't want to just have the head in the clouds kind of aspect where that physical never affects spiritual. Okay, because that obviously was a problem there. Because some people were saying, well, our widows are getting overlooked and these widows are getting superior treatment. And so there had to be faithful men to be able to deal with that issue so that that issue didn't turn into a spiritual collapse. Okay? So a similar situation here, not situation, but a similar idea, I guess. Acts chapter 11, verse 29 through 30.
They did, sending it to in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders.
Okay, so a couple things I want to point out here. First, the word for relief is the word diakonia. Okay, the word service that we're looking at there. And so when he's saying there is that they had anyone had a proportion by any of the disciples had means, they would each determined to send their contribution of diakonia to the brethren at Judea. And so their physical contribution of money was, there was a need for something in Judea. There was a need for stuff that they were humble and servant heart to be able to give that. And secondly, there they were entrusted to Barnabas and Saul, who were faithful, that took it to the elders who also were faithful. Okay, now this is not talking, people have the idea that the elders have the checkbook and whatnot. I mean, that's not the main work of the elder, okay, to distribute money. Like, that's not what it is. They were brought to the elders. I mean, the purpose that it says that there is because the elders were trustworthy. The elders were faithful in it. And Paul and Barnabas, they just didn't send the money, and that's where it goes back a little bit to when we're talking about servants there, and like when someone has the right character, it would have been pretty easy for Paul or Barnabas to siphon off a little bit of that money for themselves. But they are trustworthy. Now, the reason that we're talking this here is that those are kind of some side notes there, but that this work of this contribution of diakonia or service or relief to the brethren living in Judea was given for a purpose to meet a physical need to help with something spiritual. Okay, and so the work of service isn't, I mean, it's not just like, oh, in the clouds type deal, like we need, prayer for someone or like some people will, I'm not saying prayer isn't the work of service. I'm saying that we also got to be a little bit conscious about other things too. I mean, those seven guys in Acts 6 weren't set aside for a purpose of praying for the congregation and hopefully someone would deal with it. They are set aside for the purpose of actually distributing something physical to help with the spiritual problem. Okay, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Kind of again on this note here, where you talk about a physical need to help with a spiritual problem, and you're talking about deaconia, you're talking about service and building up of the body. Like we don't want to be naive to the fact that there is needs for physical needs to accomplish a spiritual need in some cases, like to be able to do that. We don't want to emphasize it all the way that that's all it is about. But we need a little bit have the understanding that there are some physical things that have to happen, as in money to be able to preach, or sharing of those who are going through, like in Acts 11 there, where they had a tough time in Judea. It was the opportunity for those people, other places, to have be a deaconia, or a servant, or to do a service, do a deaconia to those who are in need of something maybe physical, but to help them spiritually. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8, or 7 and 8.
Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted, because I preached the gospel of God to you without charge?
Verse 8, too. Okay, so we got the word serve there, deaconia again. Okay, and so Paul is saying there that there was some need. There is the he robbed other churches. Now he wasn't saying that he actually robbed. Paul is trustworthy. But his point was that I didn't take money from you in order to provide a service for you. I was supported by other congregations in order to provide a service for you, in order to provide a deaconia to you. And so when you're talking about building up of the body for the work of service, I think, again, we don't want to emphasize this too hard, because this has been blown way out of proportion, but we can't just throw it wayside either. There had to be, like, that can be a part of deaconia, is helping serve for a particular purpose, because for a physical purpose, I guess, because a physical purpose can impact a spiritual result. Okay, and just like in Acts 6, the church had the potential to devour each other, to bite and devour and consume one another, if the physical need and a physical problem wasn't dealt with by faithful men who were faithful in serving. That who are selfless in serving that way. And same thing with Paul here, he was supported so that he could provide to the Corinthians a deaconia. He was supported physically by other congregations. And that's what he's talking there. Again, it's not the most important part of that, but we see that deaconia is a service. It's what does the gospel need? What needs to be done here for the spiritual benefit? And again, that can be taken too far, but we can't write it out and just say that it's not even important. Oh, pray for him. Well, it's important to pray for him, but sometimes it's like James says, I pray that you be clothed and be filled, but if you don't help out the brethren, what good is that? James 2. I mean, that's not quite he's using that as an example for a different context, but that still applies there. You still have to maybe be wise about that in doing that. Last verse of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And so when we're going on a selfless heart and a selfless service, and having that picture of, in order for the body to be built up, that has to happen. That selfless, humble heart has to be there. For that service to, or that deaconia to happen, to be able to be effective. We go in verse 21 through 22 of Ephesians 6.
But that you also may know about my circumstances, that I am, how I am doing. Tychicus?
Tychicus, yeah.
The beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord will make everything known to you. have sent him to you for this great purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts.
Okay, so there is some, you could say that there's some, maybe obviously a spiritual impact, but Tychicus, we know that was a servant before. And Paul, we talked about that in verse Colossians 4. But he was sent there to let them know about his circumstances, so that he may let them know about us, he says in verse 22, that he may comfort your hearts. So you see that physical, there's a little bit of a physical application there of letting them know how Paul is doing and how the work is going there to comfort the hearts of those in Ephesus. And again, not completely focused on physical there, but you see that character throughout there, is that whatever needs to be done in order to build up the body, and again, mostly spiritual there, but sometimes that heart is going to overflow. I mean, we talk about overflowing a little bit as we're overflowing outside the body. The strength from a servant is going to be built mostly spiritually, but sometimes it has to overflow a little bit physically in order to accomplish a spiritual result. But the saints are to equip each other to build up one another. And that's what, like, Tychicus here was comforting the hearts. It was building them up. He was sent there to build them up. It was a comfort to the heart. It was a spiritual building. Building up. And so the apostles and prophets and evangelists and elders and teachers are given as an advantage to the saints to equip them for that work of deaconia, so that we can build up the body, so that the growth of the body can be given, and that heart, that character again, has to be there, or else that growth isn't going to happen. And so that's I think a focus more on the servant heart versus the title, because that's really not a servant anyway. But anybody have any comments or anything?